touch the Lord as he goes high. And you will find he's not too busy to answer your cry. He is passing by this moment. All your needs he will supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. The Lord as he goes by, you will find he's not too busy to answer your cry. And he is passing by this moment. All your needs he will supply. So reach out, touch the Lord as he goes high. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. And you will find he's not too busy to answer your cry. Is passing by this moment. All your needs he will supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. By this moment, all your needs he will supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
This morning we ministered on,
yes, Lord,
on how full your tank is. If you're full and running over, have you been running half or maybe even down below?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I'm going to run you over. I don't want you to imagine God being stingy and not wanting to give you his spirit.
Yes, Lord.
He's wanting to
hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
God wants to give it to you. Are you ready to receive it?
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes.
supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Yes, Lord, yes, yes.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord. I felt the touch of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I felt the touch of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 I'm looking forward to next Sunday night, the Lord. So be praying much about that service. Give the Lord another clap of worship. Amen. What a mighty God. We're ministering this evening, and I promise you, I try not to keep you too long this evening. I want you to be turning with me to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. We are truly in a time that we need to know what's going on, and I know that we hear a lot of our prophets preaching and teaching about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I truly believe that. I believe that we're entering into we can sing that song soon and very soon. But I want to say one thing tonight. I want to minister just a little bit this evening. The greatest harvest that's coming is here.
Yeah.
And it's upon us. And I believe that in the next few months, and I'm not talking about next year, I believe in the next few months we're going to see our churches begin to fill up. And I believe that they better be bred in the house of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Because in 9/11, we just went through that. I remember 9/11. I remember it happening. I can remember coming and opening up the church. I remember people just walking off the streets and come up here and pray. We had the greatest church attendance that's ever been recorded in America.
Right.
At 9/11. 3 months after 9/11, we have the lowest attendance that's ever been. Claiborne County is the worst. The national average is about 15 to 17% of people go to church. Claiborne County, it's 14%.
Right.
And you know what happened to a lot of people? They were, when 9/11 happened, fear hit them. They run to the house of the Lord, and all they found was dryness, deadness, and no life, no bread.
Come on.
And so they went searching after something else. God is a God of second chances and third chances. God's given America another opportunity, the Church of America, I might say. And we have an opportunity to reach into the harvest field and to begin to reap and harvest what God has for us. And I believe that we're in an awesome time, but I do believe that we have to pay attention. And I want to minister just a few minutes this evening that on this strip, on this that God gave us. Romans, the 13th chapter, we're going to be taking starting verse number 11. Would you bow your heads? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, Lord, to be here tonight. I thank you for the wonderful spirit. Lord, the worship of the hearts of the people, Lord, I thank you for that. The songs of Zion, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done, the divine healing and touches. Lord, I thank you for filling people's cups up tonight and running them over. And Lord, I know there are others. But Fathers, it comes this time that we break the bread of life. I ask that you anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, direct my mind and my tongue, God, to speak the words that you would have me to speak. I ask, Lord, that you'll open the hearts of the congregation that they might receive this word, and that they may apply it, Lord, to the good ground of the heart, that it may bring forth much fruit. Lord, even 100, even 1,000-fold. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Devil, we rebuke you.
That
you do not steal.
You do not steal.
Kill.
Kill.
Or destroy.
Or destroy
this word.
This word.
And the church says.
Amen.
Everyone that's able, would you stand for the reading of the word of God. Romans the 13th chapter. I'm going to read some familiar scripture. Starting in verse number 11. And that knowing the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, nor not in chambering or wantonness, and not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And the church says,
amen.
You may be seated. We are truly in a time tonight. Excuse me. We're truly in a time, I truly believe, is a blessed time. And what an opportunity this generation has. So many times we have preached that there's coming a revival. There's coming a move of God. And I remember it definitely a few months ago, we've been back probably 6 or 8 months, the Holy Ghost instructed me to quit preaching it's coming because it's here. It's up to us whether we want to take part in it or not. There's a revival that's sweeping the world. One of the greatest revivals that's ever been known is sweeping the world right now. I heard this. We used to say there was 25,000 people in China a day that's given their hearts to the Lord. I read the last couple weeks that it's up to 30,000. And here's one I did not know. In India, which is almost as large as China, in the Hindus, there it's up to 20-some thousand people a day turning to Christ.
Praise God.
There's a move of God sweeping India. They're trying to stop it, but they cannot do it. In Muslim countries right now where all this, the rioting is going on and people are being killed, do you know that God's adding churches like you have never seen before in, Pakistan. I did not know this, that there's 2,000 Pentecostal churches in Pakistan that God's added recently. Now, I said Pentecostal because the article I was reading said just about every one of them that are Pentecostals. And I'm not saying Pentecostals any more special. I'm just saying where there's miracles, people will take notice. A mighty revival. Some countries in Central and South America, the whole countries are just about turned to God. I'll show the film here before long. One country is about 85% Christian now. Back about 15 or 20 years ago, it's 3%. It's 85. They had I heard this on the national news. They had a prayer service a few months ago, and the president of the country had a day of prayer. The soccer stadium, which seats 140,000 people, was full. People was outside waiting, and they prayed for 2 straight days. Revival sweeping. But I ask you, what's going on in America today? What's happening to the church? Why is our churches empty? Why in America did 5,000 churches close last year alone? 60% of them was mega churches that used to run over 2,000 or more. The doors are now locked. They're estimating another 2,000 this year are closing in America alone. Last year, let me rephrase that just to not deceive you. Last year was the first year in many years that 2,000 churches closed, but 2,050 churches started. Come on now. And if you ever travel much, I'll tell you where they all are starting at. If
If you ever drive through Florida, if you ever get the opportunity to drive through Florida, every strip mall has got a church in it. Just about everyone. They're turning everywhere they can have it. They're having churches are beginning. But they're estimating this year another 2,000 churches will be closed, and they don't know how many will be started yet. What I'm trying to say is in America, something needs to happen. Something has got to happen. The revival is upon us, and what we have become accustomed to doing. In Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 3rd verse, the disciples asked Jesus, said, Tell us, when shall these things be? They was wanting to know when the end time was going to be. People say, when's the revival coming to America? When are we going to see it? If you would, Sister Lisa, put up the next verse, 24 and verse number 4. This is where Jesus began to answer him, and I want you to listen to this. He said, take heed that no man deceive you.
Right.
Let me say this right now. There's coming a move of God, but take heed that no man deceives you, and especially yourself. We are come so complacent and so comfortable in our surroundings, in our nice buildings, in our air conditioner, in our comfort homes, that we've come so complacent that we're expecting the Holy Ghost to come down, grab us, shake us, and literally carry us out into the highways and byways. And God's looking for some men and women that are ready to awake in this day and hour and say, here am I, Lord. I'm ready to go where you lead me. Waiting on someone to call to say, here's the time. You see, we've been deceived. The church in America. I don't know. I forget the number because my mind's not working good tonight. But it's up in the thousands of churches that have ripped down the cross and drug it out of their church. They say it offends people. I don't know what offends them, but it's by the one that hung on the cross that we're here today. America has been deceived. We have become what they call user-friendly churches. We're afraid to preach the divine word of God. We're afraid to allow the Holy Ghost to have his way in our services. We're afraid to see the move of God because we're afraid it will upset or offend somebody. Can we say tonight, church, let us not be deceived. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God that he always has been. Back when the revival was sweeping America in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and even into the 70s, when the revival was sweeping America, he's the same God today. And if it was sin then, can it not still be sin today? Can we not preach the divine word of God? See, we become deceived. We're tied up in ourselves, in our own issues. I want to encourage you. I've said this a lot lately because the Holy Ghost has directed me to say it. We all have problems. There's not a family here that ain't been going through battles and trials and tribulations. But if you cannot get your eyes out of your little circle, you're going to deceive yourself.
Amen.
Because God's bigger than any problem you have. God's bigger than that. And he's able. We need to begin to look to one another. Because there's other people that we need to be lifting up in prayer. Is that all right, church? All right, let's go just a little bit further. In Matthew 24... 42, the Lord told us to watch. Therefore, you want to read it? It says, watch, for you know not what the hour your Lord doth come. I hope that this little message tonight, that we can get our head out of the sand.
Amen.
Has anybody noticed, and I know you have, what's going on in all the Middle East countries? Has that caused anybody to pray a little extra? I'll tell you what, I was totally surprised that with all going on, that the attendance is down.
Yeah, that's right.
That kind of shows me where this message is. It's time. that we awake out of our sleep. You say, Pastor, that don't have nothing to do with us. You need to understand the Word of God. Watch. These are signs that's coming. Do you know that the leader of Iran, that he has said that he has people already in America? I did not know this. I heard this preached the other day. I won't give his name because this goes over the air, and this goes over the air, and I don't know if he would, which I know he would, but I heard him preach this. He said that one of the secret projects of Iran for the last 8 years is we've thought about the nuclear program. We've heard the nuclear. But the biggest project in Iran is they have tried and they have developed a poison or a chemical that they can put in a water system that could kill up to millions, estimated 2 million people in the right water system. He has told our State Department to go ahead as soon as you bomb us. We have people already in America that we have there that all we have to do is give the word and water supplies in America will be poisoned. You say, Pastor, you're trying to scare. I'm not trying to scare you. I think we ought to be aware that there's danger out there and that we serve a God that's able to reach out and he's able to save. You know what the difference between a child of God and one that's lost is? My Bible says you can drink any deadly poison and it will not harm you. We don't have to worry about that. But there's a lot of lost out here that has to worry about this stuff. See, we've got the blessings of God on us. I didn't mean to get off on that. That was notes for another message. Luke 22:46. Jesus asked three of his disciples. He said, why? And he said unto them, why sleep you? Now this ought to make somebody shout. Rise, pray, lest you enter into temptation. Hallelujah. Can I say this to this church? Why sleep us?
Come on.
Now preach with me. Why don't we arise, shake off ourselves, and begin to trust the Lord? God's got something for us in this day and hour. Can I have a witness here? Can I have some people that'll say, I will arise, and just give me an instant. I will arise. I will pray and seek God. He is my keeper. He's the one that's going to lead me. Glory, hallelujah. The devil thinks he's got the church whipped. He doesn't know that God's got men and women that have never bowed to the things of this world that are ready for the call of God. See, no, we'll come down. You may be seated. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
It's now a time that we wait. Don't say we got 3 months. Jesus said, don't say you got 3 months.
No.
It's ready right now.
Ready. Yeah.
Now, going back to Hebrews, it says, the night is far spent. And it says, darkness. Let me find my place. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. The night represents sin. He said the night is forespent. In the 24th chapter, in the 37th verse, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of God. Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, if you go to Genesis, the 6th chapter, and let's go to the 11th verse, here's what was going on in the book before Noah. It says, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Have you been seeing any violence this week? Have you ever seen a corrupt earth like we have? I believe there are people out there that wouldn't know the truth. They're corrupt. Go to Genesis 6 and 5. I know I'm giving you all scripture tonight. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now this is what Jesus said would be on earth before the coming of the Lord. How we understand it, how great the harvest is? People are hurting there. They have no hope. The world has nothing to offer them except evil, wickedness, and violence. In Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 38th verse, it says they was eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. The only thing that was on the hearts of the men and women before the flood was pleasure. Now, don't get me wrong, I love ball games. I like it. But it's amazing to me that in the day that we live in, that you can put 106 or 110,000 in a stadium in Knoxville.
Come on.
And people, another several million, watch it like it's everything to the world to them. And it ain't just that, it's all sports.
Right.
But yet, where's revival? Rape. I was reading an old article, Christian article, the other day about Knoxville, and it called it the sleepy little city. And it may be a little city, but every time, I don't watch the news every day, but every time I watch the news, there's some murder somewhere in Knoxville. And can you believe what's going on in Clayton County? I thought we were country. There are murders on every hand. Come on. Killings. Look at drug addiction. I would venture to say there's not a family setting here tonight that somewhere in your family there's not been an effect of drug use. It's destroying our nation. Destroying our counties. Somebody was telling me, and this is a little disgusting, or I think it's disgusting, but I guess to them it's okay, that when people get on this methadone and everything, they get the sores all over them, that they actually pull the scabs off the sores and they sell them to other people, and they eat them because that's meth coming out of their body. Anthony's a pharmacist, he's shaking his head.
Lord have mercy.
Can you imagine that? Where's the hope at in this country? Then you know what's on the people's mind? I assure you that if we had a big ball game or some kind of pleasure or activity out here, they would be a multitude of people that would come and they would be there and they would take part in it. But I tell you what, it's time that the church awakes, because God's calling us for such an hour to reach into the harvest, to make a difference in the life of people. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. We are become pleasure people. I've never seen such sickness as it is today. I've never seen such sickness. Now I'm not this smart. I'm borrowing this from another minister. I believe it was Jack Van Empty, I'm not sure. He says that there's 36 or 39 major diseases in the world. Jesus took 39 stripes. Imagine that. You know what? I don't care if you took 39 or what. I just know one thing. By his stripes, we are healed. There's a healing to take place. The world needs to know this healing. I know I've been rebuked about this many times, but I still believe it. I still believe Jesus is able to divinely heal off people off of drugs. I truly believe it. I still believe, and this may sound old-fashioned as old-fashioned can get, but I still believe that you can come to an old altar, and Jesus is still able to forgive you your sins and make a new creature out of you, that all things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We can still have a life-changing take place in our life. He is more than a forgiver. He's a life-changer. Can somebody say amen? You see, he said that the night is forespent and darkness is upon us. He said, cast off the works of darkness. I'm getting a little bit long. I'm going to go on just a little bit more. in 1 John 3:8. This is where I believe that the church needs to awaken to. I believe that we have authority that God's given us to come against darkness. And I believe it's time that we step forward. It says, he that committeth a sin of the devil, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God, somebody read this with me, for the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy what?
The works of the devil.
That he might do what?
Destroy the works of the devil.
Luke 4:18, I preached on last Sunday night, talking about, he said, the anointing of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach, to do what?
To deliver,
to set free. He's anointed me to do this.
Yes.
Can I say this tonight? It's time that the church awakes, because we are not powerless in this day and time. God has given us the power, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we have a right, church, to go out into the highways and byways. And we have the authority to cast out the works of darkness, because Jesus Christ said, I come to destroy them. We have the authority to do it in his name, because he gave us his name to do it by. We have an authority to do this, that we don't have to worry when we go out amongst the darkness. We do not have to worry about what the enemy might have, because God is well able to protect us in that day and hour. And may I add this, if God chooses that we should go on to be home, we've left a bad place and went to a better, a wonderful place to be with the Lord. We are children of God, and we cannot lose. It's time that we are waking to what God has for us in this day and hour. Can somebody say amen? You see, we sometimes, the devil has used fear to keep us from doing what God would have us to do. And you can be right here in this pulpit. You can be ministering. And the devil will try to attack you with fear. You'll be holding a revival. Because, but what if you ever went to pray somebody and said, well, then they'll say, what if God don't kill them?
Yeah.
You know what? It ain't our job to do nothing but say in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's in the hands of a mighty God. Either God,
Amen.
God will do it.
Right.
All we can do is say God is a healer. You say, what about demons? I've actually seen this, and I know you have too. It's embarrassing to me. I've seen people go into church to cast out demons, and all of a sudden everybody wants to get up and leave. I've had preachers stand in the pulpit. Now we're going to cast a demon out. If you're not strong, you better get up and leave. That's the most foolish stuff I've ever heard in my life. If I didn't have enough authority to cast a demon out of a person and out of the church, I wouldn't fool with it.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
Did somebody say amen? You say, Pastor,
amen.
Can you do it? You don't have to let an evil spirit run around your church. Put him out the door. He has no right to enter anybody. All you got to do is resist him, and he flees from you. But you see how fear has entered into the worship. It's time that we awaken him, because the time is too short.
Amen.
The coming of the Lord is at hand.
Amen.
Anybody got any lost loved ones you need to see saved? Our time's drawing nigh. We're sugarcoating it and sweetening it, and patting it on the back is not going to get them, but the door. When you begin to preach the word of God, he will draw. The Holy Ghost will begin to draw. He said, put on the armor of light. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, if you just put that up there, and I know we know these verses. I just want to share with you. I know you know this. Paul told us there in Romans, he said, put on the armor of light.
Right.
He told the church there in Ephesus, he said this. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, can I say this and not upset nobody? He did not say you might wrestle.
Come on.
He did not say you might wrestle. He said, we wrestle not. You will fight the principalities of this.
Yeah.
If you try not to, you will fall, because you will not be prepared. So what you have to do is you have to cast off the darkness. unto the Lord.
Come on.
And then you have to do your part. Put on the armor of God.
Right.
And when you begin to put on the armor of God, then you can fight principalities. You can fight evil presence.
Come on.
Because they cannot penetrate the armor of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
This is what the world needs to know. There's people out there tonight that's trying their best to serve God in the best they know. And alcohol and drugs has taken over their life. Sometimes they call me and they say, Pastor, I don't understand it. I've prayed and I've tried. It's time that we teach them that God's able to set them free from this. You don't have to live under the bondage of sin no more. There's people that has addictions that's destroying their lives. Yeah, I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to the church. Have addictions. You know what? Can I tell you a couple of the worst addictions that destroy more than the drugs? One of them is the addiction of shopping. It's one of the worst addictions out there. It's hardest to break. I don't hope anybody in here has got that addiction. But you can't feel good unless you're shopping. You don't need it, but you'll buy it. Destroying. It's one of the hardest addiction that's known to man to break is pornographic. Pornography. That's the hardest addiction to break. They say that somebody hooked on that it's easier to be delivered from heroin, meth, anything than it is to be delivered from that. But I'm telling you, God can do it. You got to put on the armor of God. When you begin to put on the armor of God, you can fight off this. You don't have to surrender to it. There's victory in this. It's time to church those. When people begin to come in here, they're going to come in here with their problems. They're going to want an answer. When this church is full of people that's hooked on all these addictions, we can't stand around and say, well, bless your little heart. Maybe the Lord will take care of you and just help you through. Somebody's going to have to stand up, put their arm around and say, let me tell you about this God that I know. You're fixing to have a life-changing experience. You see, we better be ready for what the harvest is or we'll miss out on the harvest. And I know I shared this with you, but I think this is amazing. This is amazing to me. God does amaze me. I cry and I worship the Lord when I begin to sing. But it's recorded over and over and over in Africa, in their poorest nations, because the Muslims literally go into these villages. And everybody that's a Christian, they chop them up with axes, machetes. They cut their arms off and their legs. And they just leave them there because they're Christians. Revival is sweeping Africa, and I read this over and over and over accounts of it, that these people are getting prayer lines. They have no arm or they have no leg.
Right.
And the prayer lines last maybe for 2 days before they ever get to see a preacher. It's so big. But God, right in the middle of the prayer line, even sometimes before the preacher ever prays for them, the preachers, their arm grows back. You may say, Pastor, that can't happen. I just believe it does. Sister Becky and I seen it one time. I've shared this with you. I'm close. Got this one more little thing. I was sitting in a little church one time in this county. And when we pulled in that evening, I noticed an old beat-up car out front. And I mean, it looked like it had been through the junkyard a couple times. And it was full of junk. I walked by and I seen there was a pile of bananas on the front seat. I just noticed that. And there's a man sitting there. And about the time church started, this guy walks in. And he walks just like this. This is perfect as I've ever seen. But I knew this right off something was different. He was missing a leg. It was totally gone. There's a pant leg that was hanging there. No shoe, no nothing. He walked up to the front. He shouted. He danced, and he said, now, I'm going around America showing what God can do. He said, y'all don't see that leg, but there's one there. God put it there.
Amen. Amen.
He said, God put it here. And he said, he wouldn't take, he didn't want money or nothing. He I've got enough to go to the next church. He said, I asked him, I said, what have you been eating? He said, I ate bananas today. But he stood up there, no leg. Walked, it's pretty. Somebody said, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. I seen it.
Amen.
As Tommy Bates says, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it.
Amen.
To the Lord's type of worship. See, we have an opportunity to put on the armor of light. And I'm going to close in this, and this is a whole message, and I'm not going to get into it tonight. I'll be here for an hour, but verse number 14, I do want to read it. Romans 13:14. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was studying that the past little bit, when you put on Jesus, that means you're putting on his compassion, his love, and you're putting on the Holy Ghost. And is that not awesome?
Hallelujah.
One of the things that hurts the Church of America that we need to awaken to is the compassion and the love of Christ.
Amen.
We cannot be self-righteous and be a part of this move of God.
Amen.
I heard somebody preach this week. They was preaching on the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And they said she was caught in the act. The Lord, everybody there had a right to stone her. Jesus saw her from a different light. He saw her a different way. Sometimes today, the people just doesn't walk the way we walk or talk the way we talk or act like us. It's so easy for us to pass judgment on them. How can you lead somebody to Christ? The church has tried to change people before they ever got God.
Amen.
I'm glad that the man that trained me, he had one good saying that I remember to this day. He said, Bill, he said, remember this. You can't turn goats into sheep. He says, if God can change them, they'll be changed. If God can't change them, don't even attempt. And I'm saying that for this because about 3 or 4 years ago when we had a pew right here, I sat right here one Sunday morning. One of our elders that died and went on the Lord. It was his son, his oldest son, I believe, was sat right here. Tears in his eyes, just crying. And he was lost. He said, Brother Bill, he said, I want to be saved so bad. He said, but I have to do one thing before I'm saved. He was an alcoholic. He wanted to quit drinking. I said, if you'll never quit drinking, you come and let God save you just like you are. But see, he had been to so many churches. You got to quit that if you go to heaven. What he had to do is get Jesus in the heart, and then he was going to heaven.
Come on.
See how I remember before we started our street ministry, and I'm closing this. Sister Becky and I was going to visit somebody in the hospital at Fort Sanders, and for some reason we just went down Broadway. And that's back when I still done a lot of driving, and I was driving. And I pulled up Broadway and Fifth Avenue, and I was sitting at the red light. Right before my eyes, I seen a drug deal go by. Right in front of me, as open as you can be. I seen somebody hand somebody money, somebody get something stick in their pocket. I seen another drug deal go by. And I can't prove this, but I know it was a prostitution deal. I seen some guy come up and give this woman money, and I seen him head over the hill. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I can change these lives.
Yeah.
And you can ask Sister Becky this. Subconsciously, I put the car in park and I opened the door, and she said, where are you going? I said, these people need God. They need a life-changing experience. And the Holy Ghost said, now is not the time. But I just knew God said, you got to do this. In church, we see multitudes, God deliver. I cannot tell you of the nights that I knelt to be 15 or 20 prostitutes. Maybe more at that time, not counting drug users. I met a man met him in Knoxville. And I was getting out of my car, and he walked up to my car. We were standing there talking, and somebody hollered from about two blocks away and said, they called me Pastor Bill. And there's this girl hollered, "Hey, Pastor Bill." Another one hollered, "Oh, that's Pastor Bill." And I can just tell you their names. One of their names is Peaches, and that tells you what their occupation was. That guy says, "What are you into?" I said, "These are people God loves.
Amen.
These are people God loves." But you see, today, we give up on them. Well, that's just that dope. I ain't got nothing to do. I'm telling you what, if God can deliver, he can deliver. Can somebody say, "I'm ready to be awake tonight." Anybody want to be, it's high time that we wake out of our sleep, our spiritual sleep, and that we see that the time is drawing nigh and that Jesus has a job for us to do.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're ready to work for the Lord, you're ready to be stirred you're ready for the Holy Ghost to stir you in that burning desire. You can't do it without putting on Christ, that burning desire. You can have good intentions. Good intentions will get you maybe out the door, but good intentions will always let you down. But when you have that Holy Ghost and fire inside of you, you'll go when nobody else will think you can go. You're going to go because you're driven by the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. We need to be awakening that the Holy Ghost is still in control and that he's able to stir up this county and move these people.
Amen.
Can somebody say praise the Lord? I truly want to be stirred tonight. I'm tired of living off past experience. I get embarrassed sometimes just talking about them, but I like to remember them. What was done yesterday is done. I cannot change yesterday, and I cannot add to it or take away it. It's gone. The day is about over. But tomorrow morning, I'll have an opportunity. A new day is approaching. If I will let the Holy Ghost guide me, I can walk in here next Sunday and say, "I witnessed to somebody and I got to pray with somebody.
Come on.
I seen God heal somebody. I seen the Lord move." Every single person here, we can have that same testimony come next Sunday if we will allow the Holy Ghost to be our guide and to lead us. If you're truly ready to shake off the slumberness and the sleepiness and to shake off the darkness of this world, you say, "Pastor, I'm not living in sin. I'm just saying it attaches to you. It drags you down." Paul told him, he said, "You once run well. Now what hinders you?" Sometimes we get things that hinder us a little bit, that hold us back. We need to shake them off. Samson thought he could shake them off. He did for a while. But I'm going to let the Holy Ghost do some shaking tonight. If you're here tonight and you need a touch from God, you're ready to go one more step for the Lord. What an opportunity. What is the day? The 16th? 15th or 16th? 16th. It's the month's about over. It's just middle ways there. What a beautiful time. Still early and even just 7:30. What a beautiful time to let God do something special. May say, "Pastor, I'm a Christian. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm proud." But I want us to present works, treasures laid up in heaven. We've witnessed and sold the light and seen people touched. If you're here tonight and God's speaking to you, I can't do it. I can't call you. Wouldn't do no good. I can walk back there and lay my hand on you and say, "God wants to use you." It'll not be no good. But the Holy Ghost lays his hand on you. Something's about to happen.
Yes.
Something's about to happen. If you're ready tonight, and God's speaking to your heart, I'd like for everybody in the building to stand, if you would, please. Ask the Holy Ghost to speak to you right now, if you would, please. Just say, "Holy Ghost, speak to my heart this evening. Awaken me, Lord. Awaken me, Lord, for this hour and this time. Lord, let me realize that the time is nigh and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus is at hand." If you're here tonight and you're ready to be awakening by the Holy Ghost, you're ready to be guided into another walk, and that you can see the souls that God has, I want you to begin to raise your hand over this building. If you would, just raise both hands and make that big funnel tonight, because God's going to pour you out a blessing tonight. that's going to be that you cannot even contain. I see these hands all over this building up. God knows your heart right now. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask, Lord, for you, Lord, that we can awaken into the Spirit tonight. Lord, just flood our hearts and our soul. Run our cup over tonight, Lord. Father, you said that you would run our cups over. Lord, run them over. Let rivers of living water, Lord, begin to flow from us this evening, Lord. Father, I pray, God, right now as we surrender unto you, Lord, that we'll not look to the left, we'll not look to the right, but we'll be guided by the Holy Ghost. Lord, and everywhere you lead us, we will follow. Can somebody say, I'm receiving this tonight? I'm receiving this tonight. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the touch of the Lord in this place. If you truly have prayed that prayer from your heart, I want you to thank the God right now because he's given you exactly what you've asked for. He's pouring it out right now. Exactly what you've asked for. He's pouring it out right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's pouring it out. Can I pray this prayer? I want to say this tonight. We have a lot of people this here tonight, and you're up in years, and it seems like time is taking its hold on. I want to tell you something. A preacher told me this the other day, and I want to share it with you. In the world, we think that winter is the last part of our life, and that all we do in winter is just kind of sit down, and we just kind of dry up. But he says that we've got our seasons wrong. Is that we're actually going into the fall of our life, and that's when we reap harvest. And our greatest harvest should be in our elder years because we have all the experience and all the knowledge of God that we've ever had. There's no reason why that our harvest should not be great. You say, Pastor, there's just not much I can do. I'm telling you, God's restoring some strength right now. Will somebody say, I want that strength? God's restoring strength right now. I feel it going out over this place. He's filling a zeal in your life. You know what you need to do? If you can't go out, just invite somebody over your house and say, I'm just going to tell somebody about this Jesus, about what he's doing. God will make a difference when you make a difference in your life. I feel the anointing of the Lord. I just feel it. And for us that think that are maybe just a little bit younger, I want you to know something. You got to take your eyes off the past because we're fixing to look. I want you to look ahead right now. I want you to take your eyes off what you may have already accomplished, and I want you to look ahead because what's done is done. God has a work that lies in front of us. It's not back here. We are still able to see souls saved and touched tonight. Can somebody say, I will not sit down again. I'm awake and I'm rising up for this hour. Glory to God. Give the Lord a praise tonight.